I mean, how could you not love them instantly? And they didn't even have probably their best, not probably their best offensive kid.
I was like, in the alternate universe, I said, Caleb Sean is watching this one. Guys, we're fine.
They've done this before. They did this, I mean, they've done it to great teams before. So it's just like, I don't even know if that's really a big win for him.
He is a leader on defense. I mean, this kid has a motor, man. I mean, you can just tell he gets into the game and he starts to defend and everybody just kind of rallies behind him. He's just, he's their leader. Like, he's everything for them.
He's him.
If you don't love that win, you don't love Arizona small ball. I mean, I don't care what level you're on. That performance is one that's going to go in the record books. What is up, Arizona high school basketball fanatics? Welcome back to the Arizona Small Ball Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I am joined today by one of the best sports photographers in the business in Arizona, my boy Aaron. He takes some really great photos and provides some awesome coverage in the small ball scene and even in the big school scene, but, you know, we're not going to fault him for that. Aaron, thank you so much for hopping on the podcast, dude, for the second time now.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, I'm a big small ball fanatic. I cover mostly small ball schools. I am lucky enough to cover some big schools. No disrespect to our small ball teams, but I do love it. You know, as a sports reporter, I've been at it 10 plus years. So I'm excited to be on your podcast. This is a great opportunity, and I love what you guys are doing, and I love how you get to highlight some of the athletes that would be overlooked because they're from small schools or from schools not, you know, they're far away. Rural, I guess, is the word I'm looking for.
Absolutely. They don't get the coverage that they deserve. And, you know, for everybody that is listening to this, it's important for you to understand that it's Aaron's birthday weekend, dude, and he is on a trip. I'm here at ASBP headquarters, but he is literally on his birthday trip. Going to go see an NBA game later. He's in his hotel room, and he was willing to hop on the podcast. So, dude, that's some dedication to the small ball scene right there.
Coming live to you from the Westin in downtown Dallas.
It's freaking awesome, dude. I didn't realize that when you said that. I love it. You know, we've never met before, but I do feel like I know you, man, because you have done an awesome job of keeping us updated on things and kind of letting us know when we're talking a little bit too crazy, you know, and maybe when we're right on with some things. You know, Fort Thomas comes to mind a little bit, but I'm excited to hopefully connect at our showcase that's coming up on April the 20th. And, you know, I'm gonna put you on the hot seat really quick, man, okay?
Okay, I'm ready for it.
You know you can't be on the hot seat. You can't be on the podcast without getting put in the hot seat at least one time. Who is a player that you are most, because you're going to be at the showcase on April the 20th, who's a player that you're most excited to see here at the showcase here in Florence?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, I'm a little biased, but I'm going to say Hunter Wales. Mm. Like, big dog, big guy. He dominates down low. He can hit the mid-range. He can hit from outside. He plays great defense. 3A conference defensive player of the year, Hunter Wales. But I will say that I'm also excited to see Keon Togo, because, like, he's from where I'm from. Like, just great talent, great player.
You know, somewhere Reyes just perked up a little bit because you said Keon Togo.
I know. Well, Reyes... Reyes is Reyes.
Yeah, I'm also excited to see Hunter Wales and Talgo. There's a lot of kids that I'm really excited to see. We want to give a huge shout out to our sponsors over at Cloud9 Sports. They are putting together everything for the showcase for us. And I mean, the jerseys are, I mean, I didn't think they could be better than last year, but they are. The shirts are going to be freaking sweet. You guys are going to see everything up close and personal. All the kids that get invited, they get a jersey, they get a shirt, and just super excited about all that stuff, man. And if you are looking for any type of clothing, apparel, hit up Cloud9 Sports. Head on over to cloud9sports.com. Use the promo code all caps small ball army. I promise you, you won't be disappointed. And, you know, we're excited for the showcase, excited to have Aaron on the podcast. But the main reason that we're here is not to talk about the showcase and not to talk about Cloud9 Sports, but it's to talk about the Open tournament. There's been a lot of changes in Arizona basketball in the last 4 years, and the biggest change is coming next season with the Open tournament, which we're going to spend all of our time here discussing. And, you know, I want to have Aaron on the show because he has a unique perspective, because he sees things from a different light than we do. And he also covers some of the bigger schools. The bigger schools have gone through the Open this year already. So there's kind of some of that perspective. What's unique about this new thing in the Open is we don't have to just guess and see, okay, what is it going to be like? What are going to be some of the after effects? What are some of the negatives about it? Where are some of the positives? We can look at the bigger schools, and they have already gone through it. And that's kind of what we're going to look at here. We should probably talk about the rules of the Open really quickly. And then, Aaron, I'm going to throw it over to you. But for the Open division, it's a 32-team bracket. And, you know, some of you guys, you wrote into the show and you said, wait, is the, you know, maybe you could actually speak to this. There's some people who said your alleged sports writer talking about the alleged Open that is coming. It is coming, right? That's the thing.
No, it's coming and it's here. So let's talk about it. That's what I'm most excited about.
So the Open division, the way things will go is, in order to qualify, a school must have played a minimum of 12 games. Following the regular season, the top 8 teams from the 1A, the 2A, and the 3A conferences, based on the overall AIA rankings powered by Max Preps, will receive a bid. So you got the top 8 teams from the 1A, 2A, and the 3A. They get a bid into the Open tournament. Additionally, the next 8 highest-ranked teams from the 1A through the 3A conferences combined will also receive a bid. The state tournament bracket will be seeded according to individual AIA rankings of the 32 teams. The state tournament will consist of 5 rounds. It will be single elimination. The top 8 teams, again, from each conference will be picked. They'll get a bid, and then there'll be 8 at-large bids from the 1A through the 3A that will also get in. If you lose in the first 2 rounds, you get dropped back into your state conference tournament. But if you get past those 2 rounds, you keep climbing up into that. So that's the rules of the Open. You've seen how it's impacted some of the larger schools, Aaron. 86, I put out a poll, and a huge shout out to you guys. You know, hundreds of you guys respond to that thing within like minutes. But 86% of people voted that the Open will be great for the small ball scene, to only 14% that said that it would not be good for the small ball scene. Where are you at on the spectrum of the Open tournament, man? What do you think about it? Good or bad?
Oh, gosh. I am like 50-50. I think it's great, but I also think it's bad. Like, how many of us wanted to see Luke Shaw versus Pepe in the championship this year? Like, I wanted to be there. I would buy a ticket, but I think it's a great idea, but I do think that there needs to be some kind of regulation. Something, it just seems sprung upon. And it was sprung upon the big schools too. So I just wish there was a little bit more clarity. But honestly, I think it's a good thing, but there definitely has to be some background to it, because I'll get into that later. But yeah, for right now, I'll say it's a good thing.
So I've talked about this a lot on the podcast. I think that there are some good things about the Open, but, you know, overall, I'm not kind of like what you said. Like, I'm excited about seeing some of these matchups. You know, I wrote down, if the Open were to happen this year, I wrote down the teams that would be in it other than the 8 at-large ones.
Luke Shaw would have won the whole thing.
Right. So we'll talk about that too. But, you know, there are awesome matchups that I'd love to see crossing over between the 1A to the 3A, which would be super cool. But what I really dislike about it, and this is kind of my biggest hang-up on it, is if there was an Open tournament this year, whoever would have won in the 3A is not the best 3A team. They're the best team in their conference tournament, but they're not. They didn't beat the best 3A team. So, and this is my personal opinion.
What are you talking about? Because you and I both know that Valley Christian was the best team wire to wire for 3A.
Oh, absolutely. No, yeah, no question.
I'm confused with what you're saying.
Okay, so let's just come to this, right? Let's say there's an Open tournament this year, right? Who wins the whole thing?
Valley Christian.
Valley Christian, right?
Charter.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair thing. I would say Valley Christian. I'm going to say Valley Christian would win the Open as well. I think that, you know, and I think it would be Valley Christian versus Santan Charter there in the championship. And that's just a whatever prediction, but yeah. But what I'm trying to say is Valley Christian wins it all in the Open. There's still the whole conference tournament that's going on in the 3A that is separate from the Open, right? So whoever wins that 3A conference tournament, like, that's cool, but you still didn't beat the best 3A team, which is Valley Christian. Okay. Does that make sense? Like, for me...
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And you're actually getting into what my biggest beef is with the Open tournament.
Sure.
And yeah. I'll say this, is that, like, you take a lot of the best teams from each conference, but how good they are, how they finish is subjective. And I'm going to actually point to an article that was in the Arizona Central, Arizona Republic that my colleague wrote, because the best way I can say it is for girls 4A. Seton Catholic has been one of the top 4A girls teams. They finished really well in the Open. And I'm just going to read to you what he said. It says, for all the benefits of the Open Division, this is a drawback. 4A had three excellent teams this season. These two schools, he's referencing Cal Point and Mesquite and Chandler Seton Catholic. There's no doubt that either Cal Point or Mesquite would be a deserving champion, but it's a shame that Seton Catholic didn't get a chance to compete with these schools, all because it made it too deep of a run in the Open. And that's where my issue lies, is like, you go too far and then you're punished. But like, I feel like you're better. So how does the AIA make team schools feel like their validation of making it to an Open semifinal is better than a state championship at a lower level? And I think I want to hear what you have to say about that.
Well, and let's talk about that for a second. I mean, do you know where the Open tournament semifinal was played at for the boys?
Well, no, I don't. I know the girls were played at Mountain Point, but...
Okay, but did you see that even, right? Like, I don't know which high school it was, but the Open tournament was played. The semifinal game is at just a high school.
Yeah, it's a neutral site. Allegedly, I think it's the one that can host the most seats.
To me, that's one of the biggest issues, though, is like what I say to my team is probably the same that a lot of coaches say to their teams. Hey, you want a chance to play over at Arizona Veterans Memorial Stadium? You want a chance to go play over in Prescott at the Toyota Center? Like, you got to win these games, and you get to play on this big arena stage, and it feels different. It feels like, dude, this is it, you know? And
yeah, I get what you're saying. You're saying, like, you tell your players, like, hey, we're going to go to Veterans Memorial Center. We're going to go to Tim Toyota's. We're gonna do something in a big arena. But these games are played at high school.
It's almost like an air ball. You know what I mean? Like, oh man, yeah. Like, this is going to be an amazing thing. And it's like, okay, we're in the semis of the Open tournament. Like, that's awesome, which it is awesome. I'm not taking anything away from that. Like, that is incredible, like, you know, but then you show up to high school.
Let's go to Mountain Point.
Right.
No disrespect to Mountain Point, but you know, I get what you're saying. It's like,
it's one of my issues with it. I think, like, it feels almost like a letdown. Like, you're in the Elite Eight, right? You have a chance to go play in the Toyota Center. You're in the Final Four. You go to the Arizona Veterans Memorial Stadium, even though I have some issues with that too, but that's whatever.
Oh, well, but, I have many issues with it.
Yeah, so
a lot.
So, and I think many people would.
Yeah, well, no, I'm friends with Tina Marley, and I think, like, oh my gosh, my girl was down here in the 80s. Like, it's not that great. Like,
yeah.
nothing fantastic.
Right, and I get it. Like, there's seating for people, and that's fair. You know, you have, like, Window Rock playing against Paige and the girls, and you got to be able to seat everybody because it gets packed in there. So I get that side of it, but I think when I think about the Open – you know, it's like for Perry making it to the semifinals, like you're not just the best in your conference. Like you're getting to be like, you're in the top of like the whole state. Like that's super cool. And then it's played in a high school and it's like, that's not great, you know? And I think that that you said that about like making it more worth it. And that kind of like, it brought me to that. But another side of it too, is I think kind of what you're getting at is, let's say like, okay, like the Gregory school, right? They end up winning it all in the 1A. Kind of what you're getting at is, let's say they go on a really good run and they get past the first two rounds of the Open, right? And like, it's awesome. They're playing great. And then they get matched up against like, you know, like Gilbert Christian.
Valley Christian
like, or whatever, like however the tournament seeding would go, I'm not sure. And I didn't have the time to like kind of put all that out there. But then it's like, oh shoot, like now we made it past the first two rounds. Now we lost to this really great 3A team. And like, okay, we get the opportunity to compete against everybody. So we weren't the best in the Open. But now you don't even get a chance to compete for your own conference, and you're probably the best in the 1A, but you have nothing to show for it except for a pat on the back, like, hey, great job.
Exactly, and that's, like, again, I'm going to have to reference girls basketball, and I know a lot of your followers don't listen to that, but, like, St. Catholic, they were the only 4A team to make the Open quarterfinals, so they did not qualify after they lost to go back to their bracket, but they finished in the top eight. But then you look at South Point beating Mesquite, like, would South Point have really won the state title if South Point was there?
Right.
Like, Seton. I'm all over the place. I apologize. But, like, you have to think about that. Like, would Seton have won the 4A state title if they didn't make it as far as they did in the Open? And those are the kind of things that bother me, and those are the kind of things that I, as a small ball fanatic, that I want to like make sure these teams understand that, like, you don't win a state title, someone else does, but you're better than them. How do you justify that, and how do you tell them that?
Yeah, and I think too, and I don't know how you do this, but you're kind of getting at that. You make it past the first two rounds, you lose in that third round. You know, there's five rounds total. You lose in that third round, you don't get anything. Do you know what I'm saying?
And
not that you should, but like, you don't even get like it's almost like a high risk, low reward. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's weird.
Yeah. Well, I've talked to some coaches in the 2A, you know, at the state tournament, and I was asking, like, you know, next year with the Open, like, what do you think should happen? And one coach in particular, which I'm not going to name, but he was just like, well, how do you recognize us as better than the 2A state champion a year from now? Like, how do you do that? It's like, oh, you lost in the semifinals, but you're better than the state champion. Like, it's just so confusing.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're obviously talking very negatively about it right now. Some of you listening to this, maybe, you know, what's funny is we are definitely in the minority, because 86% of people said that they would love it. And I'm going to, like, speak for that 86%. I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, if you agree with this or not, but I think most of the 86% are either athletes or coaches that are like, hey, let's get it, you know, like, I love the challenge, I want to have that opportunity to go play, if I'm a 1A school, to play against a Valley Christian and try to give them hell, right? If I'm Rancho, yeah. if I'm Pima, like, heck yeah, dude, like, let's go toe-to-toe against them, you know. Pima almost beat Valley Christian last year. And I think that that's that competitiveness that comes in. And I think that would, like, take people, like, charging into the Open, like, I'm going to die, you know, like, let's get this thing. But I think when the dust settles and you're sitting in the locker room and it's like, well, we probably could have won a state title if we were just in the 2A. Like, if we were just in our conference tournament, like, why was it really worth it to do this, you know?
I know teams are going to compete, but like, at what level do we decide this team is better than the other?
Sure.
And that's where I need to know what the AIA is trying to do, kind of like what they're doing with the Open, because let's face it, this year it would have been Rancho Solano versus Santan Charter. You know, it would have been Luke Shaw versus Peyton. Everyone would have loved that. But for the other teams that are not there, how do you make it worth it? And then also, like, for the teams that do win the other conference, you know, you can see a team like Highland Prep win the 2A title if there was an Open this year. Like, how do you make it, how is it okay, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm at with this whole Open tournament.
Well, and we can talk about, like, the positive from that side, right? Like, let's say that you are, let's say you're in, like, the top 12 of the 2A next year, right? And you're like, all right, you know, let's say you do get one of those at-large bids. You lose in, like, the second round. So then you go back into your conference tournament. A huge positive, you don't have to worry about Santan Charter. You don't have to worry about ALA. You don't have to worry about Rancho, because they're going deep in the Open. Like, they're definitely making it past the first two rounds, you know? And maybe not definitely, but they have a really good chance of doing that. Even playing against 3A teams, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of 3A teams would feel the exact same way. But I think the positive is, then you get dropped back into your tournament and you're like, oh, like, how awesome Santan Charter is. We don't have to worry about them because they're in the Open. So let's go win a championship against people that are more, you know, suited to where we're at. Now, I think there's an asterisk there because, you know, we win the state championship. I'm sitting in the locker room being like, that's awesome. We want a state title. But, like, wouldn't you want to crack? Wouldn't you want to crack at Santan Charter? Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know.
No, I agree with you because I'm in it. For your followers, I have a niece who plays 2A girls basketball, and her team is really good. They made the Final Four, you know, the past 2 years. They could win the 2A state title next year, but they will not win the Open title, which, I mean, they'll hate me for saying that, but I agree. That's what I think. I think they could win a 2A title, but they wouldn't win the Open title. And is that bad for them? Is it, like, that's where I'm confused on all of this. It's like, how do you rank a state title versus the Open title? How do you make it so where athletes don't feel like it's nothing? And I feel like the AIA has not done that. Do you know who won the 6A title? Because I don't.
Dude, that is the best. Oh my gosh.
But I know Koa Pete won the Open title. I know Koa Pete won the Open title. I don't know who won the 6A boys title.
Whoa.
I don't know who won the 6A girls title, but I do know who won the Open, and it was Perry with Koa Pete, and it was Xavier behind Sarah Miller and Jasmine Olivar.
Dude, you just, that's one of the best points I've heard. That kind of discredits the Open a little bit.
Well, it is what it is.
Man, my head, I'm just kind of spinning, dude. Like, whoa, you're so right. Like, now you still take home a trophy, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You take home a trophy. You still get it.
But, you know, I mean, I don't. I'm thinking through Reyes. I know what Reyes would say right now.
Oh,
you asked, what does it mean?
Reyes would say.
You asked, what does it mean? And what it means is you are the champion of your conference. You're just not the champions. You're not the champion of the Open. And I get that. But, like, I think what we're getting at is it feels almost kind of discredited.
This school at 6A is Coca-Cola. A school at 5A is Pepsi. And a school at 4A is Sprite. They're obviously going to win their best taste. And then, so when it comes down to it, it's going to be Pepsi versus Coke versus Sprite. I guess Dr. Pepper, too. And, you know, but then that means what's a generic soda brand? Dr. Thunder is the 5A state champion.
Oh, my gosh, dude. That's, like, such a crazy fool.
Like, I mean, that's that's why it's so hard. Like, do you want it? Like, do you want to be the consolation state championship? And you know me on my page, I am very open. I have called people a consolation state championship. So, like, it's like, do you want to win the consolation 5A championship? No, it's kind of embarrassing. And some of the players I talk to, some of the coaches I talk to, everyone says it's like open our bus, which, I mean, it should be. But then for the people who do win the state titles, it's like, should we look down on them? Should we laugh at them?
Sure.
How do you do that? Because, I mean, I'll be real. Small ball talk. Luke Shaw, Valley Christian could make a scene in the open division this year.
Absolutely.
On the girls' side, I know you guys don't follow girls, but on the girls' side, Girls Country Day could easily have won this open. Well, never mind. They wouldn't have beat Xavier, but they could have been a runner-up. So the competition level is there, but how do we justify it? How do we make it to where it happens on an even playing field? Because it's not fair for a team to go in there and get obliterated, and then what?
Sure. Well, and then if you make it past, like, I guess the moral of the story is get obliterated in the first two rounds, and that's okay. But
yeah,
don't get obliterated in that third round, because then you have nothing but like a, I don't know, like a Shasta Cola. Like, you don't even get like a whatever.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's crazy.
Exactly. And you look at it, like Luke Shaw, Valley Christian, could they beat Koa, Pete, and Perry? No, but I think it would be a good game, and I think they'd make a good Final Four team. But, like, let's say it was the Open this year, and Valley Christian faces Perry and does lose. And then, I don't know, who wins the 3A title? Camp Verde? Do you think Camp Verde is worthy of the state champion? Oh, yeah. And
I love that dude. I appreciate that plug, man. That's awesome, dude. And the answer is no, but I love it.
But I'm just saying, like, if the way the rules work, Luke Shaw goes and loses to Koa Pete, and then Camp Verde is the state champion, do we agree with that? I don't.
Right. You know, I know I've never been a part of a championship locker room after, you know, the last game or whatever, and I know this isn't accurate, but I picture everybody just throwing champagne around like they do in the NBA finals. You know, I would love to just pass around some Dr. Thunder and just start like going crazy with that, you know, like that would just be so funny with the Open.
Well, when Jeff wins the state title next year, it's going to be Blue Gatorade.
Oh my gosh, man. I hope you are a prophet in that. You know, another thing that I will say that this does kind of suck for is it really sucks for teams that are on the bubble, you know? I mean, if you're on the bubble and, like, let's say you're just right on the edge of getting in, and you have all, like, you have these teams that get in. Let's say the majority of the 8 at-large bids come from your conference. You know, let's say you're in the 1A, and the majority of them come from there. Actually, probably realistically, maybe from the 3A, right? But they go from there.
Okay, well,
they get dropped in.
Well, Jeff, can I be honest with you? You know who the Open tournament is going to benefit? It's going to benefit 2A schools. It's going to benefit 2A private schools more than it benefits anyone else.
Elaborate.
And I'm just going to say that.
Elaborate.
I mean, you got, like, Scottsdale Christian. You got, you know, my boys at Rancho. Like, the 2A landscape. I don't understand the PowerPoint system. Let me say that first. But, like, I feel like the PowerPoint system is going to favor a Scottsdale Christian, a Rancho, you know, just a Gilbert Christian, a Valley Christian. It's just going to favor them. You know, compared to a public school, what public school do I know in 2A that's good? Like, a San Carlos is not going to be number 1 through 5. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think you could make the argument it's because those private Christian schools, their strength of schedule is ridiculous comparatively to, like, a San Carlos.
Oh, okay, well, now you're going to make me upset because...
Dude, let's get into it, bro. I'm so here for it.
Rancho Solano plays the toughest schedule in the state, and they are not rewarded for it. They get, you know, Coach Strig takes them and plays them 5A, 4A, 3A, out of state, whatever, and they do not get that respect on the 2A level because PowerPoints don't count out of state opponents. PowerPoints don't count.
They do. They do count out of state opponents, though.
Negligible, though. Like, you think going into the tournament, you think Rancho Solano should have been number three after they beat number two ALA on the road? No.
Well, but to that, though, I mean, they're still going in as number three. I mean, you can't say that they're not like rewarded for that. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? I have had the pleasure of interviewing Coach Strick, and he already told me, we know we're never going to be number one going into the state tournament because of the schedule we play. Mm-hmm. And I respect him for that, because it's true.
True, I respect that too.
Nobody plays a tougher schedule than Rancho Solano.
Right, well, but okay, hold on. Though. Let's just talk about that for a sec, because I know you love Rancho. I love Rancho too. Not as much as you do, but I love Rancho, and I'm going to get you that burrito because I owe you a burrito.
You do owe me a burrito.
And it's all good.
On air, so it's official.
Uh-huh, it is. It's beneficial. But, like, okay, I think with, like, Coach Trigg, right, like, does a phenomenal job. One of the best jobs, I think, in the state of Arizona. Forget small ball, in the state. Coaches his butt off. He does it the right way. His kids have so much, like, poise, and just the way he manages talent and character is just, it's awesome. I think it's second to none, you know? So I've said that a lot, and I'll keep saying it until I see it differently. But I think the world of him and what he does with his program there. But, like, if you look at him, what their record, they only lost three games, right? Their losses were to Perry, the Open Championship, Valley Christian, the 3A state title, and Corona del Sol. Those are their only three losses if you throw out, like, the actual playoffs, right? So I think those three losses and then them going into the tournament ranked number three, I think that makes sense to me. I don't think that they should be higher.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, then tell me this. It doesn't matter because they ended up winning the semifinal, but, like, Arizona Lutheran, number two, they beat them at Arizona Lutheran. Because tell me how Rancho is not ahead of Arizona Lutheran. And trust me, I love Arizona Lutheran.
Yeah.
Luis Guerrero, Noah Draper, Stephen Ironshell, like, that trio to me is, like, amazing. But, like, tell me how Rancho should be three when they beat the number two team.
Now, I'm not saying that I think the ranking system is perfect. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay, well, maybe I misconstrued what you're saying.
No, but I get what I'm communicating is I see your point. And I think my explanation of that is, you know, ALA's only loss, they only lost one time. And I get it. Their only loss is to Rancho, and Rancho ends up, you know, like, their losses are to, you know, Perry and Valley Christian and stuff. But those are still two, a Corona del Sol. But those are still, that's more losses than ALA. So, like, that hurts their power points more because they have more losses. But their losses are not penalizing them as much because of who they're losing to, if that makes sense.
Oh, no, I think their losses are penalizing them because, in my mind,
they do.
Rancho should have been one or two.
But they honestly,
one or two based on,
right,
based on strength of schedule. Who did Santan Charter play? Nobody.
And wait a minute, like, now. Hold on. Let's pause there for a second because, okay, they are still, Rancho is penalized for their losses, but they're not penalized as much because in playing a Perry, in playing a Valley Christian, it helps their strength of schedule. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Like, it's not like
losing. What you're missing is they are penalized for winning teams that are out of state. They don't get anything for that.
Wait, what do you say that one more time?
They don't get anything for beating teams out of state.
They would, yeah. Look it's all factored in.
No, look at their PowerPoint. Look at their PowerPoint schedule and then look at their overall schedule. There's like 10 games missing.
Well, yeah, but see, those are tournament games, though.
Exactly. And I know tournament games don't count, but what I'm just saying is, like, gosh, you look at who Rancho plays. They play tough teams.
No, I get you. Like, I get you, dude. I mean, we're going to be in their region next year, and I'm already.
Oh, I forgot you guys dropped down into 2A.
I'm already praying, you know, because Rancho's tough, and, like, you know, that's not anything to mess around with. But, you know, what I'm communicating is the algorithm of the PowerPoint system. It does factor in if you play someone out of state, but it doesn't when it you factor it into, like, tournaments wise. And maybe that's a change that should happen. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
It doesn't.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, it doesn't factor into the tournaments. But, like, let's say, okay, like, so for Valley Christian, you know, I'm clicking on them. They played against Smoky Hill in Colorado. That was not a tournament game. They win 73-65. That factors into their PowerPoints, you know. And I've sat down, Aaron, and I've tried to figure out the algorithm myself. I've read through, there's a lot of people on Twitter that have said, like, there's no explanation to how the algorithm works. Hey, they put a whole PDF out there. It's like 35 pages. It's crazy.
No, I agree. I tried it. But honestly, PowerPoint system going into the state tournament, I would have thought Arizona Lutheran would have been number one, Santan Charter number two. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter because the teams that are great are great. So, I mean, shout out to Peyton Lubosch.
You're right.
He's a great talent, and good for him. Good for him and his team.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's just it's very interesting when you start to factor all this on. We kind of got off the rails of the open tournament and started talking about the
ranking system. I'm sorry.
No,
I'm sorry.
Hey, it's all good. I was there for it too. So, you know,
I think the open is good and bad. That's the best way I can describe it. I think what I would like the AIA to do, if they want to do this, like, champions thing, you know what they should do is they should just take the champion from each division and let them play it out. Even the runner up. That way you get two teams. Like, take both teams from each division and let them go. That's, I think, what the open should be. Because it's not fair. It's not fair to teams.
What if?
It's really not.
What if Aaron was in charge of the open tournaments and proposed that would be a pretty killer idea, I think. I'm not mad about that at all.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't hate that. Let's think about that for a second. Because then...
Well, let me say this. I want to see Pepe play Luke. Like, trust me, I do. I'm like, I want to see how good his team is. But at what point? You know, you can't play the offseason. You can't play, like, what if. I would like to see the AIA do a tournament of champions, and that would be Arizona's top state champion, quote unquote, that the Open is supposed to do.
So what? There's six.
Who do you think would win?
There's six conferences. The Open tournament?
This year. Yeah, this year. Like, let's say 3A Luke Shaw versus Pepe and 2A. Santan, who would win that game?
Well, I mean, I've already said I think I'd give it to Valley Christian, but I think it'd be a great game. I think it'd be closer than what you said, but I think it'd be a great game.
Oh, no.
And I agree with you that seeing these matchups would be great. Let me just read through this really quick. These are the teams that would be in the open tournament if it happened this year. Okay. It would be Valley Christian, Gilbert Christian, Yuma Catholic, Holbrook, Ironwood, Northwest Christian, Snowflake, and Chinle for the 3A. These would be the top eight, right? For the 2A, it'd be Santan Charter, ALA, Rancho, Leading Edge, Phoenix Christian, Morenci, Pima, Horizon Honors. And then for the 1A, it'd be the Gregory School, North Valley Christian, Desert Christian, Babo, Fort Thomas, Anthem Prep, LCAP, and Joseph City. So cool. And then that's not even talking about those other eight at-large bids. But, I mean, you're going to – kind of like what you're saying, like, the small ball fanatic in me is like, bro, I would love to see some of those teams get matched up. Like, to see the freaking, like, North Valley Christian face off against, like, ALA Ironwood, that'd be so sick.
Okay, well, you know what? You just listed off the teams, and I hate to say it, but I'm going to say it. I don't think the 1A teams have a chance in this open. I don't.
And I think
that's where it goes. That's where it goes back to what is the 1A championship being if you can't win the open?
Right.
It's just so stressful. It's so much for me because I think the open is a good idea, but it's not a good idea because if it was today, I don't think any 1A team would make the semifinals.
Yeah, no,
but they would go back to the 1A bracket. But then at that point, oh, we're the state champions, but we're not that great.
Well,
I don't know how you say it.
Right. No, I totally get that. And I think the Gregory School, North Valley, and Desert, maybe I'm being really generous and including Desert in that, but I think they would have a chance to, depending on their matchup.
No, you're not, because Desert Christian.
You're so right. You are so right. You're right. I thought of that as I was saying that. Desert Christian Fanatics. I'm sorry that I said that. You're right.
I say that to Luis all the time. I'm like, well, you almost got beat by the 1A team. But, you know, I just like to joke with people.
Right. But, like, I think the Gregory School, North Valley, Desert, those three would have a really good chance of, depending on who they matched up against and if they played an awesome game and if the, like, let's say the 3A team or the 2A team really had, I just think it depends on matchups, but if they got matched up against the right team, they would potentially have what it takes to make it past the first two rounds.
Well, you know what? My unofficial open championship would have been this year. It would have been Rancho versus Valley Christian and Gilbert Christian versus Santan Charter. That's what I think.
Yeah.
And I think it would have been Santan Charter versus Valley Christian for the state championship. I think Luke Shaw, you know, drops another 30 piece, wins the whole thing. That's what I think if the open happened this year.
And you're not crazy in saying any of that stuff. You know, I think that that's pretty accurate. We could probably predict, you know, it's funny. Somebody wrote into us and said, oh my gosh, you predicted who was going to win each conference. And I'm like, well, it's not terribly difficult if you follow even like halfway, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I don't know. I feel like,
shout out to everyone who had Rancho in the state championship because I feel like I was the only one.
I was going to say, I think you might just be shouting yourself out.
I am. I'm plugging myself in. Go Coach Trick. Go Sagis Vargas.
Okay, so, I mean, you know, we spent about like 40 minutes here just kind of breaking down the open, just kind of thinking out loud. Again, going back to this poll, 86% of you guys voted that the open would be great for the small ball scene. 14% said that it wouldn't be. You know, we want to hear from you guys right into the show. Let us know what you think. You know, are our points valid? You know, if they're not, like, just tell us.
You know what? The 86% of people that voted yes, I want to know what they think after next year's championship when it's crowned. That's what I want to know. How many of you are going to feel the same way a year from now? Because I don't think it's going to be that high of a number.
Maybe the podcast can sponsor some Dr. Thunder and send it to the locker room of the team that wins each conference. You know, I think that might be kind of a funny thing.
Well, let's call Cloud Mount Sports.
Let's see if they can do that for us, you know. So,
yeah.
Okay, hey, is there anything else you want to say on here, Aaron, before we get out of here? But
my gosh. Well, thank you for allowing me on the podcast. Sorry I ramble. That's just like once we start talking about something, like I go a million different miles. So, thank you for that. But thank you. I think the open good and it's bad, and I think over the years it'll figure it out how it's gonna mesh, but for now I'm gonna be the only person, well, I shouldn't say the only person, but I might be one of the only people who wishes we get to see Luke Shaw versus Peyton Lubach.
I don't think you are. I think a lot of people would love that.
that should have happened this year. But overall, no. I think the Open, check in with me like next year. I'll tell you how I feel about it.
Yeah, maybe I'll check in with you March 16th next year.
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you guys. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the Arizona Small Ball Podcast. Aaron, once again, man, thank you for hopping on your birthday weekend. And I hope you enjoy the NBA game, man. It's the Mavericks versus the Nuggets. Who you got in that one, man?
Ooh, my heart says the Mavericks, but if I was betting, I'd say the Nuggets.
Okay, I would say we put a burrito on it, but I don't want to owe you two burritos.
I don't know. Well, I don't want to lose the burrito that you owe me.
Well, thank you for hopping on. And for all of you guys, our listeners, thank you so much for tuning into the Arizona Small Ball Podcast. And we will catch you guys next time.